T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, coming alive from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently as we move toward the draft. It's going to be a great week here on the show. We're coming alive, of course, as I said, the great studio here, Quicken Loans, Tiki and Tierney. And we got it all for you. Obviously, we are just inching toward Thursday, where AT&T Stadium in Arlington is going to be the scene. All the quarterbacks, all the needs, all the rumblings, all the innuendo, all the possible trade scenarios, Tiki. Let's go, baby.
We can finally stop speculating about who's going to go where and who's going to do what. And it's almost like dribble. You can't even – it's like, what are we talking about? We got to wait to see what happens. But football is so strong in our collective consciousness. All we can do is opine.
Jeez, what a buzzkill out of the chute this guy is. Good God almighty.
You know my philosophy on – I hate rookies, by the way. I can't stand them.
So you don't like kickers.
Rookies. Kickers, I don't mind, even though our kicker buddy, Jay Field, what the heck is he doing? Whatever.
He's kidding around.
Of course he was kidding around, but still.
We'll get to it later.
But anyways, I hate rookies, BT, because they come in and half of them don't know what they're doing. I think that's changed over the last few years.
Yep.
Because, you know, not even offseason, because they're not even a part of a team yet, but the pre-draft process is so full of former professionals helping young kids get ready for it that they actually come in more prepared than they used to. But I remember when I was second, third, fourth, fifth year in, these rookies would come in, they're completely lost. They had no idea. It's like, dude, you know you're getting paid for this, right? Mm. This isn't college anymore.
Yeah.
So I generally hate talking about rookies because you don't know what to expect, but the draft is always exciting, and we'll get to that.
It's going to be so much fun. Speaking of the draft, Sam Darnold, today we have Sam on the show. Look, I mean, we are so stacked this week, really. Between Sam Darnold today coming up at 5:20 Eastern, could go first. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't go first and he's there at number 2 and your Giants pass, I think that they will lament that forever, but we'll see. And by the way, if they do, then my Jets will snatch him up at number 3. Yeah. Darnold today, Josh Rosen, Bradley Chubb tomorrow. Josh Rosen, of course, UCLA. Chubb, the outstanding defensive edge rusher from North Carolina State. We've got Derwin James, stud safety from Florida State. That's going to happen on Wednesday. I know that Dak Prescott, Cowboys quarterback, is going to join us on Friday.
And they'll know who they drafted because a lot of people speculating that they're going to go wide receiver.
They're going to have to go wide receiver at some point.
I agree.
And we thought
the problem is there's not a ton of them.
No. Matter of fact, I'm going to retweet this. There was an article that Lock and Four wrote over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into hoops in a moment, but I'm definitely going to retweet this. It was one of the most comprehensive – I don't want to just, have dead air as I try to find it. Basically, he characterized how there's 27 locks, 27 first-round locks, and he identified them by name.
Yep.
By position, and so it was like quarterbacks, like 4 locks, 6 possible first round. You include Lamar Jackson. And Rudolph as well.
Yep.
He did it at every single position. So it's incredibly informative.
And wide receiver was thin.
That was my point.
And tackle is thin as well. So.
Yes. Matter of fact, you had to make a real case for, outside of the kid from SMU, very few wide receivers are factoring in. And speaking of wide receivers, it looks like Dez Bryant, where Baltimore was a possible landing spot, they made a move, which we'll get into later, which precludes them, at least what they put out there, from now going after Dez Bryant. So this week's going to be absolutely crazy. It wouldn't surprise us if in the middle of the night we wake up to our phones tomorrow, there's an incredible trade, or if it happens Tuesday. I mean, just anything literally can happen at any time. So obviously a heavy football show, and Sam Darnold today at 5:20 Eastern, but the basketball.
Yep.
Now, I made the statement right before everything started that I didn't think there'd be a single sweep. All right. And by the way, the one sweep that has happened now with the Spurs getting a win and at least going 5 games with the Warriors, although I think they close them out tonight, was the one series that nobody had right.
Pelicans and the forget Pelicans
about sweep,
and Blazers, yeah.
Just choosing the winner.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't happen very often that a 6 seed sweeps. I mean, no. Much like beats, but much less sweeps the three seed, especially with the backcourt. And look, I think we're trying to get McCollum on at some point in the next couple of days or weeks or whatever it may be, because he'll be hanging around here in New York. So that'd be great if he could come in studio, because we got to ask him, dude, what the hell happened? You guys won 48,
bad
49, 48 game, whatever it may be during the regular season. You look great at a point. They won 15 games in a row, and they had no answer.
Bad matchup.
It was a horrible matchup for them. And more importantly, Damian Lillard came up small when we expected him to be huge in this postseason, because this felt like the one where they could do something.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Aldridge is long gone, it just never happened, man.
Yeah.
And kudos to the Pelicans, by the way, because they are such a well-balanced team right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually fun to watch, even though nobody expected them to be in the second round so far.
I think I may have misspoke. I think I may have said Spurs and Warriors tonight, just the two games tonight. I meant that's obviously tomorrow. Rockets and the T-Wolves. T-Wolves got a win over the weekend. Rubio was great.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah, I mean, that arena was absolutely on fire.
Awesome.
That was just incredible. So you've got this incredibly competitive series now, which was my main point. I thought that everything would go at least five games, and the majority would go six. And early on, I was a little rattled. I'm like, whoa, it looks like I'm going to be really off base with this. But, you know, the Bucks battled back. Mm-hmm. They tied up at two. Great job by the Wizards. And we'll get to the Cavs and spend the majority in the first hour on them. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if you felt the same thing. When Bradley Beal fouled out with 5 minutes to go, the score was 92 apiece. And the way they interpreted the play when he banged into DeRozan, mm-hmm. I thought, including the announcers, I thought that they incorrectly fixated on his hands, because his hands were not quite rule of verticality, because he wasn't going for a shot, but it was actually got him with the hip. I thought that was a foul. I had no problem with that. I mean, I want to see Bradley Beal play the final 5 minutes, but literally,
BT,
that was a foul when he hit DeRozan.
It was a foul, but the question is not whether or not it was a foul. The question is whether or not you call a star on that foul at that point in the game.
Yeah.
And the answer is probably no.
Yep. Yeah.
But it worked out for Washington.
It did, but I was worried about they started making shots. They played well. The Wizards. Now there's a couple of swings in energy in a few of these series where, you know, the Raptors, they finally won a first game.
Yep.
You know, that hadn't happened for years. And they were coasting up two games to none. But now the pressure is so palpable for the Toronto Raptors. Now that the Wizards have avoided embarrassment, mm-hmm. and they got at least two. Now, I don't want to say they're playing with house money, because they don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are talented enough to go on a run. I think we all know that. But the Raptors, that collar's got to be getting a little tight now as they get ready for game five. It's got to.
The collar is tight on the Raptors, but the collar is also tight on the Cleveland Cavaliers, which we start the show with. Because I got to tell you, watching this game, and we knew that at some point LeBron was going to become LeBron again, right? He's going to score 30-something points and do all the things that he does to help this Cavaliers team advance over the last, you know, 3 years, but even going back to the last five. He's always doing something. And at this point, what I saw against the Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers is an unsustainable effort by one of our sport heroes. He just can't keep.
You mean in terms of what he actually puts out physically?
He can't physically keep doing this, BT. He just he can't.
But he always does this.
I know, but he just can't.
That's
if you watch him, I mean, they were given stats. You know, this is mostly on NBA radio, one of the things that you listen to post-game. And mm-hmm. In the next couple of days, you'll hear all this. The amount of transition points that he gives up, like if they did it, I don't think they really do this. In some shorts, advanced somewhere, you could find the advanced stat. The transition points that the Cavaliers give up, mostly because LeBron doesn't get back, he can't get back, right? He's working too hard. We talked about this last week. He works so hard to score 46 or even 24 like he did in game three. He works so hard to do that he can't play defense. And as a result, teams who play in transition, and that's most teams these days, they have a man advantage, you know, on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So unless someone else is going to step up and be an elite scorer, because it's not Kevin Love,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, he's great on the boards, but he's not scoring any points. LeBron James is overmatched physically. He played, 46 minutes?
Sat down 2 minutes yesterday.
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
And so as a result, he kills himself, right?
Yeah.
We always say, got to come out quick, LeBron. He came out quick. What did he score at the half? 21, whatever
mm-hmm.
it was. He scored 21 points at the half. They have a 17-point lead. He gets whittled down to 10. They come out in the third quarter. LeBron's like, all right, I'm going to play, but I got to, chill. You know what I mean? Because I got to be ready for the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That lead gets evaporated in 3 minutes. And so
that's why he's the MVP.
It is why
I've been saying this forever.
Absolutely right, BT. And it shows itself. It's really showing itself in the postseason when the games mean something more. And
yeah,
I mean, without LeBron, they have, I mean, they'd lose by 20 points easily. But even with LeBron, and if Victor Oladipo doesn't shoot 5 for 20, they lose this game. If Victor Oladipo shoots 7 of 20.
Okay, you could look at it a couple of different ways here.
You,
and
man,
that's one way.
It is unsustainable. I feel bad for him.
I feel a little bad for LeBron.
It's
the worst team he's ever been on.
No doubt.
It really is. Agreed. I mean, this is the outside of his first year. Yeah, I mean, this is the worst Cavaliers team.
Championship viable team.
Yeah, where they've been in the mix, of course.
Agreed.
I look at yesterday, right? And you know, now I'm really I don't know which way to go here. I really
about the series.
About the series. Yeah. My instinct tells me that the Pacers will forever lament the Cavaliers winning that game. Mm-hmm. They had them on the ropes. Now, when I say forever lament, that would have to imply that they don't win the series, because they're not going to lament something if they come back and they win it in 7, or even if they win it in 6, they eventually forget about it.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm starting to feel really good about the Cavaliers right now is the manner in which they won. Kyle Korver, hey, he's alive.
Hey, former All-Star Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver went 0 for 4 in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. He finishes with 18 points, including two big-time, money-time fourth-quarter daggers. Monsters, right? Jordan Clarkson had 10 points in the first three games combined. He had 12 at the half yesterday.
That's a good point.
Hit his first 5 shots.
Good point.
And you talk about Oladipo going 5 for 20. Yeah, he missed a couple of shots he's going to normally bang in. But the reason he went 5 for 20 in large part is because he was harassed by a guy who was locked in and buying in on the defensive end, and that's J.R. Smith.
Yep.
Now,
we said that last week as well.
We did.
J.R. Smith is reliable in that regard.
Yeah, and he also had 12 points too, J.R. Smith. If this happened at the Q, I'd say I'm less confident to say that they found their way, but mm-hmm. the fact that a guy like Clarkson, more so than Korver, who's played in a lot of big games, hit threes on the road, at home, whatever, been around forever, same with J.R. Smith, half a knucklehead, half a star, he's played great on the road and he's bombed on the road, he's done it all, but a guy like Clarkson needed this invitation to the series, and to do this on the road, to really be a real factor and be internally galvanized and now also gain the respect and the trust of his teammates, I really believe now
so you're calling
that the Cavaliers will win this
series. You're calling this series towards
the Even though the Pacers are a better team.
Yeah, if there was a secondary scorer, right, there isn't one really that's really, really reliable. If there was, it would almost be a no-brainer, right, that they were the better team.
I mean, if the Cavaliers had that second score.
No. So the Pacers did.
Oh, the Pacers.
Because if Victor Oladipo, you know, goes 5 of 20, mm-hmm. somebody else generally could pick up the slack for really good teams. They mm-hmm. don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But they
have strength in numbers.
They do.
Sabonis popping in threes. True, I mean, Turner's pretty good.
But are you relying on Sabonis?
No, but are you going to rely on the guys I mentioned for the Cavs? So that's
no, but I would rely on LeBron James. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
at the end of the day, I'm saying LeBron James. But LeBron James can't play 44 minutes a night. He just can't do it. 46 he played last night or 2 nights ago. He just simply cannot do it. And so I worry about, like, the attrition. Like, we see him not playing defense like he used to. I mean, you remember the chase down in the NBA Finals? And,
of course.
I mean, it's the greatest defensive play in maybe finals history, mm-hmm. right? And he doesn't get back on D. He doesn't even get
33.
I know, but he doesn't even get back to the half court. So my point is that he's exhausted,
mm-hmm.
right? And it shows itself in these periods where they are the better. I think the Cavs are the better team, right? Because you see it, like, you know, straight up, let's play this thing head to head for a quarter and a half. The Cavs run out by 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not
mm-hmm.
even close. But then all of a sudden, attrition, which is the biggest enemy in all of sports, whether that's fatigue or injury or whatever it may be.
And coaching. I'm just saying.
Attrition starts to take its toll.
Cavaliers have an inferior coach.
Oh, my God.
Inferior.
You see
McMillan's good.
You see it with sets.
Yeah.
Right? Why? I mean, Kevin Love is always on a smaller man. Why is he standing around the perimeter? Right? Post him up inside. You know what I mean? Score that way. But you never see it happen. You never see any plays called for Kevin Love. It's always like, all right, run around until you find yourself open. LeBron will find you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
After all, it's his 15th drive, and he's too exhausted to get height. Did you just see him get yoked by Oladipo? They called a foul.
Yeah.
But I mean.
But he's also one of the highest verticals in the NBA.
I agree,
but still. He's giving away a ton of inches.
Still.
I hear you.
Still.
Too much freelancing for the Cavs offense.
I agree.
But that's also the NBA in large part. Come
it
up,
is,
set the high
it
screen,
is.
Do the pick and
roll. It is. My point
They'll adjust to that. We'll adjust to their adjustment. We'll see what's left with 12 seconds left on the shot clock.
My point
we'll take a shot.
All of that aside,
it's the NBA.
LeBron can't do it. I feel bad for him. He can't. He wants to. And you see
meaning
it.
He can't do it. He can't win this series?
He can't. I don't.
Who's going to win the series right now?
I think Indy's winning this series. I think Indiana.
So with the 2-2-1-1-1 setup,
yes.
Now best of three,
yes.
With two of the next three games
BT,
in Cleveland,
they went to Cleveland. They beat
them.
I'm
just asking.
Yes, I believe that the Indiana Pacers are going to win this series. Ooh. Because I don't believe LeBron can keep doing what he's doing.
Okay.
I just can't.
Okay.
You tell me, show me somebody who can play 46 minutes.
Well, he's done that his whole life, so I can show you LeBron James.
Not at 33. And he only had to do that one series. We saw it one series. It was against the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, and at that point, you're like, all right, we gotta buckle up. Let's get this thing done.
So about it, when Irving
this
was out.
Is the first round of the NBA playoffs, something that the Cavaliers and LeBron James have dominated almost his entire life. And he's in a fight right now.
So you're pushing him on the outside.
And if they do get
shoving him aside.
If they do
little
get
hip
through,
check.
I have no idea how they're getting through the next round.
1-855-212-4227. Lots to react to. Great weekend in NBA action. Obviously, a lot of football later on. Sam Darnold's going to stop by. Aaron Murray, Hour 2, CBS Sports Network college football analyst, our colleague, all the quarterback stuff. Now, there's a rumbling, and who knows if this is just draft innuendo, somebody planting something in the corner of the room, agent speak, whatever. There's now strong rumblings that the Browns might take Mayfield. We'll get to that as well. 855-212-4227. Think about this scenario. Back to the NBA. It's possible that both the number one and number two seeds get bumped. So unpredictability is good, but would that be good for the NBA? Get your thoughts on hoops out of the shoe. Tiki and Tierney. It'll be a great week here. CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney on a Monday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We're here in New York City. We are coast-to-coast, though, nationwide, 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, all of our tremendous affiliates, which have been with us for the ride. I mean, you and I have been dissecting these poor quarterback prospects like lab rats.
I'm telling you,
like
you can't
lab
help
rats.
It. Every break, this is all we talk about.
Yeah.
This is the latest I've found on one of these quarterbacks, and we'll get to this at the top of the 4 o'clock
withhold
hour.
The name. Don't.
I am withholding the name. The analytic on X is horrible, but the potential is tremendous.
Well, that's a pretty easy one.
Yes.
Even if you didn't. You did tell me the name.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty easy one to guess.
Exactly.
You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say Sam Darnold on that one.
I'm just saying.
You'd say Josh Allen.
The analytics are terrible.
You'd say Josh Allen.
The potential is tremendous.
I also said to Tiki, I said, you know, I can literally say today and then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I give you a different quarterback as to who I want. Now, I've been most committed to Mayfield.
Talking about the Jets at number 3, by the way.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And if you were to scour through, as Old Takes Exposed did over the weekend and got me for an old Matt Harvey take, appreciate you guys. Not that old, like 2 months ago. I said he was going to be great this year. He's not even in the rotation anymore. They pulled him over the weekend.
Yeah, that was before the Dark Knight got lost in the night of New York City.
No. This was right before the start of this season.
Oh, well, that's your bad.
Yeah, I said he was going to regenerate.
And that's
your bad. Definitely my bad. They pinched me over the weekend. But if you scour through my old football quarterback takes, I mean, the only one, you're going to find, you know, 3 or 4 different opinions.
Yeah.
But I think the most common thread would be my affinity for Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
If my team drafts Mayfield on Thursday, I'm going to be pretty pumped.
Yep.
But
that's the one I've said I've only liked, but I don't know if he could play in the NFL. We'll see.
You have said that. 1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. Get this NBA stuff rolling. Let's get the calls here. First up, though, LeBron James. Let's hear from LeBron postgame on narrowly avoiding a 3-1 deficit. Here's James.
I mean, 3-1 is just it's a huge deficit, and you don't want to ever go down 3-1 versus anybody, no matter if it's first round or all the way up, and if you're fortunate enough to get to the finals, it's just too difficult. So with them coming in our home building and taking away home court advantage in game one, we knew in order to get the series back to us having home court, we had to win one on their floor.
Okay, so there you go.
I don't think any other player other than LeBron has to deal with this. Is Lance Stephenson's, whatever you want to call it, nonsense?
Act,
whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think it's effective on LeBron?
No, not particularly. No. I think he's immune to head games. And for the most part, I think, and he's certainly immune to physical pushback. Yeah. Now, residually, it may tire him out, as you pointed out, you know, earlier in the show.
He's always leaning on him.
He's not.
I mean.
He's LeBron.
But if you're tired and someone's just like leaning on you.
Yeah.
Don't you just like get the hell off of me,
well,
dude.
Well, think about people who are on a bus or a train after a long day of work.
Exactly.
Now times that by a million.
You're right. You're packed. You're
only
tight,
have somebody sweating on
tight.
You.
Well, here's LeBron talking about the tech he got because of.
I mean, I should never got a tech in the first place. I mean, there's a timeout call. This guy's following me to my bench. And then give him a little nudge, and he falls to half court. Come on. But I should know better. I should know better. I've been dealing with this since elementary. It's like I tell you a joke, you know, I tell you a joke, and then you laugh and you get caught.
Yep. And then he used the principal teacher's analogy after it as he finished it up. I'll tell you what, I think on a lot of levels, I think LeBron James respects Stevenson.
I do, too.
I really do. I do, too. As a competitor, as a grinder.
But I could tell... You can tell it just wears on him.
Hey, he's human.
I agree. It just wears on him. Barely. Like, yeah, you're funny. I'm better than you. We're going to beat you. It doesn't matter until it gets tight and it's 2-2 in the first round. And you're like, man, stop. Leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of here. Let's get Colin in Texas. He's up on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Colin, how are you today? What's going on?
I'm doing good, man. How about y'all?
All right. What you got for us today? What do you got?
Man, I got two things for you. First off, in 2017, this time last year, everybody was complaining, both at ESPN, y'all, everywhere else, was complaining that how the NBA playoffs were just bad for the NBA as a whole. Because we
of the first
knew
round.
That it was going to be we knew it was going to be the Golden State Warriors, and we knew it was going to be the Cavs.
True.
And this year, y'all are saying that it's going to be bad for the NBA for a first and a second round to get knocked out.
Well, we asked the question.
Yeah.
We didn't definitively say that. Yeah. We asked the question.
I don't know if it's a bad thing. I think it's bad if you love seeing greatness develop in front of your eyes. That's why I love sports, Colin, because I like watching greatness. I want to say, hey, I remember back in whatever year, this year now, 2018, LeBron James got this eighth straight final. Now, if you lose that narrative, it's a little, I mean, it changes, but it's not a bad thing. But I kind of want to see LeBron keep going. But if he loses, I think it's a bigger story and probably better for us.
It's great intrigue either way.
Agreed.
Go ahead, Colin. Go ahead.
Also, I got one other sleeper for y'all in the NFL draft. His name is Mason Rudolph, a quarterback out of OSU.
Yep.
I saw him play earlier this year, and that kid is an absolute phenom.
I got to tell you, Colin.
As well as anybody else.
Colin, a lot of people are speculating about the Patriots.
Thanks, buddy.
Right? They're saying, oh, the Patriots.
Oh, everybody. Now Lamar Jackson's going to the Patriots. I'm so tired about that. Last week, Schefter said that Brady's not sure if he's playing. Today, Schefter says Brady's playing.
This is my point.
Please, reports.
Everything from the Pats is, oh, the Pats are going to trade up to get Josh Rosen. Oh, they now love Lamar Jackson. The Pats are going to do something like what Colin just said. They're going to take Mason Rudolph with the first pick exactly where they are, not trade anyway any of those assets, and actually develop into somebody good. Because he's a good quarterback. He's got a lot of little flaws that are fixable if you have the right coach. And at the end of the day, by the way, and we'll get to this a little bit later.
But I don't think they're doing that in the first round. They've got too many holes to patch up for Tom Brady this year.
But they got two picks, BT.
I understand that.
Two in the second. But the bigger thing about all these quarterbacks is if you have a bad coach or you have a bad system that you're throwing these kids in, it won't matter. The one thing about the New England Patriots, you know you're getting into a good system with a good coach, talking about Josh McDaniels.
Yeah,
so,
it's true. If he stays there.
If he's staying there.
What do you mean? How do you know?
Because he had the head coaching job in the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, he didn't know if Luck was playing.
No, I think it was, as you read more into that, it was Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft during that time of the season. They're not, hey, coach, hey, yo, I'm going to go get ticket. Shut up. I don't want to talk to you about that.
They're locked in the lab.
We're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
I don't want to hear a conversation from you about going to be a head coach somewhere else. I promise you they didn't have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
When they lost, it was like, they're like, all right, hold on. Now let's talk. And they convinced him to come back.
Do you think he was actually given an assurance he's going to? Because I don't believe that he's the quarterback that necessarily. It could be.
I think they gave him money.
I
think they gave him a raise or whatever it is and said, look, we want you here. We're committed to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how long Bill is going to coach. But you've been here the longest. And we know how they promote from within.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a coordinator, they don't go look for somebody else. They hire the linebacker coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You lose the offensive coordinator, they don't go hire somewhere else. They hire the quarterback coach. So there's a philosophy and a trend that's gone on with the New England Patriots. I bet Robert Kraft said, I can't guarantee you the head coaching spot when Bill Belichick is done. But if you hang around, good things will happen to you.
We'll talk. And by the way, with all due respect to Colin, I think Mason Rudolph's a little bit beyond the stage of being a sleeper.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, come on. Like he's unveiling some seventh-round kid from, you know, Directional University, whatever.
I think what he's talking about, though, nobody's talking about him.
We don't talk about him very much. We lump his name in at the back end, but we very rarely expound on what we believe he will be on Sunday.
Agreed.
To that point, Colin's right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. We have Sam Darnold coming up at 520 Eastern today, which is awesome. Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next. Axe Update coming at you right now. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. So if you want to throw something by us, just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That's at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. And make sure you stick around, listen. Later on, Teak and I will circle back to the most interesting one. We'll answer it for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Gorgeous day, finally. Actually, pretty nice weekend in the Northeast. Nice couple of days here. Sun was shining. Birds were chirping. Flowers blooming. Grass coming out a little bit.
What do you think that means I was doing?
You were probably doing a little mulch, a little planting in the backyard.
Yard work.
Yeah, yeah?
Not even mulch. I'm not at mulch yet.
Not at the mulch stage.
You know what I had to do?
You had to dig.
I had to go to Home Depot. I had to get heavy equipment, which is a pain in the ass.
What do you mean heavy equipment?
Like a sod cutter, which weighs like 400 pounds, this thing.
Is it really 400 pounds?
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous. No, okay. I'm not even joking.
I got you.
Had to rent the ramp so I can put it in the back of my van.
Wow.
Take it out of the ramp, out of the van, which was even harder than putting it in the van because Tracy's helping me, and she's like, "I don't want to fall." Like,
All
right, just move.
Just drive the car.
Just move. I don't want to hurt you.
Just drive.
If it runs over me, I'll be fine. And then I had to cut sod in my lawn because we're putting in trees and bushes.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't even get to the mulch yet. So first beautiful day of the spring, working.
It's a pretty good effort for a guy who's played in the NFL, made some money. Why don't you hire somebody to do that?
Good, because
I could see a schlep like me having to do that.
It's actually pretty easy. Like, other than hauling the thing around.
It doesn't sound easy.
It's pretty easy. You turn it on, you jack it into the ground, and then it just cuts. You just walk with it.
But what was the process to get there?
What do you mean? To get to the...
To before you flipped it on and the easy part happened.
You got to turn it on.
You got to go there.
Oh, yeah.
You got to lug a 400 piece of equipment to your car.
It's only 10 miles away, Home Depot.
10 miles there, 10 miles that. But it's got to be at least an hour in Home Depot on a Saturday.
No, it took me literally 17 minutes.
Okay,
and then I dropped it. We had it for 4 hours. Cost like $70. It was awesome. I took it back.
Oh, you rent it for the day?
Rent it for the day.
That's actually pretty good.
Cut this two strips or three strips that I had to do. Mm-hmm. Took it back. Felt accomplished.
Yeah, I was going to say
felt accomplished. Yeah, and you have a beer. I mean, the first time I fixed something, it was like,
that's not bad.
I am man.
No, that's me and man.
Because I've never owned a house. I always lived in the city.
Yeah,
I grew up
here.
In apartments. I lived in the city my entire career. So when I got a house, it was kind of like, all right, now I got stuff to do.
It does feel good when you fix
something. Does.
Especially if it's like a crib or that happened to us a couple of days ago. And especially if you get the initial skepticism from wifey as if you'll be able to actually fix it.
We'll just call somebody.
She doesn't say she wants to do it.
Oh, she wants to do it herself?
But I got to step in. You can't be.
Good call.
Come on. You got to step up at some point when it comes to that stuff there. I did fix the crib. I guess that was like Thursday night. She was stunned, too. It was kind of a quandary. It was not an easy solution either. I don't know how I got it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Kinsley was about 30 minutes away from sleeping on the floor. She didn't even know it. Not even 2 years old. She would have slept in the bed with us here. Here's the article. I'm going to tweet this out. I haven't done it yet, but that I referenced from Lock and Fora. And we'll get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds here in a sec, Teague. So he titles it the 2018 draft. Here's why these 27 prospects are locks to be taken in the first round. And he goes through each position, and he's got a nice detailed synopsis of who the locks are and then who the wild cards are. So, like, quarterback's too easy. Let me give you wide receiver. Mentioned this before, right? So he's got wide receiver, no locks in the first round, three possible. Ridley is one, Moore and Sutton from SMU.
Yeah.
And he expounds on, and it's not just his opinion. It's like what scouts have told him, information, intel that he's gathered. It's really good. It is only in his estimation, and I've been doing this for a while, and I have to say I agree with a lot of his points. I think he's onto this here. The tight ends have only one lock. So really in terms of the vertical nature of the game, which is what usually gets fans excited, aside from quarterbacks on draft day. You know, who's my tight end that's going to catch 80 passes? Who's my wide receiver? There's really not many. There's one total lock between wide out and tight end, at least according to Jason. Wow. And I actually do agree with that, as I said.
I would, too.
All right. Ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
It's on the side of our simulcast here, Golf Book, a new sponsor.
Hey.
Gonna have to utilize that a little bit, Golf Book, up there if you're watching us on Tube. All right, get some free rounds there. Or at least some time.
No, you gotta pay for rounds.
Well, whatever. Maybe we'll get a discount here. I think the whole concept is everybody gets a discount.
I agree.
Maybe we'll get more.
Yes.
All right, you ready, brother?
Like free.
Yes, that's what I was insinuating. So former, this is interesting, former 10-year NFL vet, defensive lineman Sean Smith, I know you remember him, told Bleacher Report that he used to smoke, this is incredible, how does anybody do this and do anything? It's sitting on the couch. two blunts before each game.
What?
Not two tokes, not two vapes, two blunts. He'd rifle them down. Man. And they also said that 80%, he did this before games, that 80% of the league was smoking weed, and that even coaches smoked weed. All right. Retired NBA stars Matt Barnes, that's the commercial, the Bleach Report commercial that I referenced the other day, that and I thought Kay Malt was in it. He was. They both admitted to smoking weed as well. Martin went so far as to say that 85% smoke 90. In the NBA. All right. In or out, the NBA and NFL do need to make their drug testing more intensive to prevent players from smoking.
Out of bounds. They need to just legalize marijuana in their respective sports. The guys in the NFL do it because they don't want to take painkillers. The guys in the NBA do it because they're, 100 millionaires, and they don't even care. So just do away with the testing. Make it legal. It's legal in some states. I don't think that our collective moral compass is up in arms about professional athletes smoking weed.
No, my only concern is as a parent. I mean, if this trickles into...
But musicians do it.
I understand that. But musicians, it's a different energy. It's a different... you might have the same amount of kids aspiring to be musicians as you do. To me, athletics is inherently healthy. I mean, you could be a musician. You could do five lines of coke in 1977 if you're Led Zeppelin, get on stage and just somehow entertain 100,000 people, and your music sounds better. I'm a little conflicted with this, not because I'm a prude. I talk about this all the time. It's not a big deal. Weed, I really don't care. But as a dad, I do.
Yeah.
What I would say, my answer is inbounds, all right, that they do need to make the drug testing more intensive. But what they really need to do is to make a decision on how seriously and how stringent they want their testing to be.
Yeah.
If you don't want your players to smoke, then you've got to make better parameters, more easily detectable. If you don't care, then don't test them at all.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, if you're going to dance, or just sit this one out. But you've got to make a decision. Where do you stand on marijuana? They're just kind of middle of the road, and it's not working.
They're waiting for the legal process, the actual legal process to take precedent before they make a decision ahead of that.
Correct. But I'm going to say inbounds for this question.
Are you in or are you out?
All right there, Teak. The Jazz, that place was on fire over the weekend. I don't like their uniforms, though, when they wear those. I don't like those too much.
I hear you.
Anyway, the Jazz, that place was popping. They lead the Thunder 2-1. Jazz point guard Ricky Rubio had his way in game 3. Dropped a little triple-dub. 26 points, 11 rips, and 11 assists as well. So if you ask Russell Westbrook, that's the last time Rubio is going to have a game like that in this series.
He made some shots, too comfortable, but I'm going to shut that off next game.
I guarantee it. In case we stepped on that at the end, which we might have. Inbounds or out of bounds, Rubio will have at least a double-double in game number 4.
I'm going
which
to
also
say,
is in Utah.
What did I say for this? I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he actually does. I think Russell Westbrook focuses on shutting him down, and he does shut him down. So he's not going to have, it depends. He could get 11 rebounds, but I think he's going to be double digits in points, but single digits everywhere else. But the Utah Jazz still find a way to win.
Utah's pretty good.
They are pretty good.
We've been saying this for a while. They are pretty good. I picked them to win in six. We'll see.
Donovan Mitchell will pick up the slack.
They got players, man.
They really
Even Ingles looks like he should be playing on Sunday in CYO,
right,
like at some gym. But he's a crisp, polished player.
You're right.
My answer is inbounds here, Teak. I'm going to disagree. Now, by the way, he can also get a double-double with 10 turnovers. I mean, if you want to be unfair to the question. But I think people forget, you know, Ruby is a sizable 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
6'4". And between Westbrook with those long jumpers and Carmelo's a jump shooter, Paul George lets him go. There's a lot of, you know, off the back heel, long rebounds to the perimeter. So I wouldn't rule him out getting 10 rebounds or even 10 dimes. He averaged 5 rebounds a game. His problem has been shooting the ball well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, he can get a couple of layups and still shoot 5 for, you know, 16 and whatever, or, you know, 40% and get the requisite 10 points. I think inbounds, Ricky Rubio is a good basketball player. His first couple of years, he was all dash with no real, all sizzle with no substance.
Yep.
He's become a better basketball player very quietly the last couple of years. I like him inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
This was great. This was textbook. Oh, my. All the good. Ted Williams has to be loving this one. San Francisco Giants first baseman Brandon Belt over the weekend fought through a major league record 21 pitch at bat. This was yesterday against Angels rookie Jamie Barea. Barea, I believe, is pronounced.
Yep.
Barea. Bell fouled off 16,
wow,
as we said, total 21 pitches, before finally flying out. Now, even though Barea ultimately got Belt out there, Belt still won the at-bat. This is so easy. Inbounds or out-of-bounds?
Inbounds. I mean, you can expound on this, but BT, it's in the second inning here. No, first inning.
First
top
inning.
Of the first inning.
Top one.
This is pitch count. You run up a pitch count. I mean, how many pitches did he have in the inning? 28 to that point? That was only the first out? So, yeah, he won this battle. Big time.
He's the only player in Major League history to get some, and he got, if you're watching this on TV, he got high fives everywhere, unless it was a sack, like the only guy to get high fives on a pop-up to the outfield, unless you got a sack fly out of it, which you didn't.
No RBI here.
And no RBI, just an incredible battle. He looked exhausted. I mean, 21 at-bats is ludicrous. It's sheer lunacy. I love it. I mean, it's just that what he did there, I can't possibly verbalize how hard it is, because the anticipation and the reaction to not just a fastball, but 3 or 4 variants of pitches, planes and speeds.
Yep.
And I mean, that is the height of greatness in terms of hand-eye coordination, inbounds. Great job. And you wear him down for the rest of the game.
Barea, by the way,
he
only pitched one more inning.
Boom, into the bullpen.
Two and done into the bullpen.
And Belt hit a home run later that game.
I know.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, the Red Sox, they are rolling, although tripped up a little bit over the weekend out there in the East Bay. The A's won a few. But they're 17-4, and over the weekend they were no hit by the A's, Sean Mania. A couple of tough names to pronounce here. However, the no-no, a little controversy, Teak, after Andrew Benintendi's, he's a good player.
Yep.
The infield single, his infield hit was overturned after replay determined he stepped out of the base path.
He did.
And Benintendi thought the umps were influenced maybe perhaps by the moment.
I've never seen that call before, and I think if we have 10 hits at that point, that's a single. But, I mean, the situation that the game was in, and I mean, they might have been searching for something, and they found it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Implying that, you know, if it's a 7-2 game or 8-6 game, then, you know, that would not be called there. So, inbounds or out-of-bounds here, Teak. The umps did make the correct call in that situation.
This is weird because it is inbounds, but I think, you know, in a regular – I agree with Benintendi as well. They made the right call, but usually you let that call kind of go if it's not – In the circumstances that they found themselves in. I mean, Marcus Semien, the A's shortstop, he dropped a pop fly to the outfield early.
Yes.
It was ruled an error.
That's nonsense. You got to make that play if you're a major league shortstop. Catch the baseball. Hits leather, catch it.
100% agree.
There's no way
it hit
was
him.
That a hit.
It hit his glove.
I mean, no way was that an error.
It was in the belly of his glove, and he just dropped it as he pulled it in. They call it an error. It wasn't an error. It was should have been a base hit to me, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a no-hitter because of those type of situations, but this is inbounds to me. I think they did make the right call. You're not allowed to run out of the base path like that, but you usually don't get that call made. So I also agree with Benintendi.
Yeah, there's a little nuance there. I hear you. And, you know, they rolled the playback a few times on CBS Sports Network. If you watch where the first baseman actually fields the ball and then where Benintendi begins to go outside the base path and kind of drag his hand and go toward the first base dugout. If he doesn't do that, if he rolls right through the bag, we get a look at it here. Teak, he got about 5 hoppers.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Stop! he would have been out.
Yeah.
And I know we don't have the capability to stop. I just wanted to sound like John Madden for a second. You would, even though he's football, you would have been able to tag him easily. So, literal interpretation of the rule. Here we go. Nice, slow. Catch. Tag. He steps out. That's a great job on the TV end.
He might have actually tagged him, too.
That's great. He is out of the base path. That's the right call. Doesn't matter when it happens. Enforce the rule book.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, there you go. A couple of quirky things over the weekend with baseball. You know? Red Sox had to lose a couple of games. I was getting a little worried.
Jeez.
A little worried about those guys. Hour two coming up. Could Baker Mayfield go first?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.